Hello and welcome. This is Nancy reading with you from the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette. Today is Wednesday, March 8th, 2017. We'll go ahead and start with our front page headlines. The first is from state government, and the headline is Colleges. More cuts would devastate. Leaders of Illinois' public colleges and universities said Tuesday that their institutions can't withstand further budget cuts, and painted a picture of a system already badly damaged. One president said the state's higher education system is approaching the equivalent of junk bond status. In a two-hour session, the university officials said they had eliminated thousands of positions, instituted furlough days, cut programs, and now were assessing whether to undertake extraordinary measures, including eliminating instructional days and perhaps an entire college. Democrats, who control the state Senate, asked the executives to testify about Governor Bruce Rauner's budget after the governor last week threw cold water on the so-called grand bargain being negotiated by the chamber's Republican and Democratic leaders. The late change in the committee's schedule made Monday morning, required the president of Western Illinois University to drive from Sioux Falls, South Dakota for the hearing. Democrats noted a $4.6 billion gap between revenue and spending in the budget proposal Rauner presented last month. In plain English, said Senator Pat McGuire, Democrat of Crest Hill, "We want to know what can you cut and still fulfill your mission." In most cases, the answer from higher education officials was that there was nothing or very little left to cut. Illinois State President Larry Dietz said his university could operate indefinitely, even though it and the other public colleges and universities currently are receiving no state funding. But if you finish the question with how long can you go before Illinois public universities are severely, perhaps permanently damaged, I'm afraid the answer is that already happened, he said. He said Illinois high school students are leaving for colleges and universities in other states, and faculty members are abandoning Illinois as well. Higher education search firms and consultants use Illinois as a hunting ground to poach our best and our brightest, and all of this is traceable to our lack of a state budget and the lack of a state vision for public higher education, Dietz said. Eastern Illinois President David Glassman said that the Charleston-based university has eliminated low enrollment programs, trimmed 413 positions, 24% of its employee headcount, mandated last year that all administrative and professional personnel take 18 furlough days, extended vendor payments, and undertook internal fund sweeps. There is very little more that I can do that hasn't already been instituted in my list of options for achieving significant financial savings, Glassman said. There is very little more that I have in my tool chest in order to reduce the expenses at EIU to reduce the deficit for the state. Western Illinois President Jack Thomas said that faculty members at the Macomb campus took a 3.1% pay cut after earlier giving up a 1% pay increase they had expected. University of Illinois President Tim Killeen was unable to make the session Tuesday. So Mike Bass, the U of I Senior Associate Vice President for Business and Finance, stood in. Bass said the U of I has reduced non-instructional staff by about 500 positions and saved about $20 million in reduced utility costs and debt refinancing. And rather than talk of cuts in Rauner's budget, Bass said the U of I could bring more revenue into the state and help its economic development. We would work on the economic development side and see what we could do to help Rauner and the state, not him himself, but all of, be more successful, Bass said. And we will continue to do due diligence, as we have for the last 2 or 3 years, to right-size as best we can without sacrificing where we stand in the rankings of the universities. Officials at Northeastern Illinois in Chicago said the campus would shut down entirely for spring break and might have to eliminate some instructional days this spring. Northern Illinois President Douglas Baker thanked senators for working on the stalled grand bargain. He said NIU had cut to the bone, and it would be difficult for us to cut any further. Southern Illinois President Randy Dunn said the university is reviewing whether to eliminate academic departments and possibly an entire college. If we have to go there, it will be significant and send a tectonic shock through Southern Illinois, he said. If you get away from the fiscal analysis, we have a public university system here in Illinois that in the higher education marketplace is just about to go to junk bond status. Also on page one, we have a news story about the unofficial St. Patrick's Day event. Bar owner eager to join talks about giant party, but he believes trying to end it would backfire. Count one well-known campus town bar owner in on upcoming discussions about the future of unofficial St. Patrick's Day. Am I interested in assisting the city and university in curtailing it? CAM's owner Eric Meyer said Tuesday, absolutely. Talk about ending the annual drinking holiday was reignited last weekend when 23-year-old University of Illinois student Jonathan Morales died after falling from the fourth-floor balcony of an apartment building. Authorities have linked Mr. Morales' death with unofficial. But Meyer also cautions that calling for an end to the event, as U of I Chancellor Robert Jones has, and drawing attention to that might only fuel the fire. As an example, he pointed to the hubbub surrounding the sale of T-shirts that some deemed offensive in the weeks leading up to unofficial. The green shirt, depicting a Native American chief wearing a Chief Alanowek headdress, but with unofficial in place of the traditional feathers, drew the attention of some faculty and students. And suddenly, Meyer said, T-shirt sales at three different outlets tripled in sales in a matter of 48 hours. It was merely because people thought they're going to take this away, and the immediate reaction was, we better go get one. I think that's how society reacts. I hate that's how society reacts, but it does. Three students believed to have taken part in unofficial have died since the event started in 1995 as a way for bar owners to recoup lost profits from the actual St. Patrick's Day falling during spring break. And should Jones and city officials be successful in doing away with unofficial, Meyer cautions that college kids will find something else to celebrate. Sometimes groups of young people get together for a variety of reasons. Some don't always make sense, but the thought is everyone's coming together to have fun, enjoy one another, Meyer said. I don't have all the answers on making it go away, if that's indeed what the decision is for the future. Shutting down unofficial wouldn't solve all of the issues associated with drinking on campus, added Matt Mortensen, a U of I graduate and owner of campus town restaurant Zorba's. I was here as a student, and we drank like crazy and didn't have unofficial back in the 70s, he said. I get what they're trying to do. It's tragic, and you don't want to see anybody get hurt like that. I just don't know how you really stop it. Much of the activity associated with unofficial in recent years has shifted to campus town apartments, particularly in light of restrictions imposed on bars by the city of Champaign. Among them, no opening before 10 a.m. and no serving beer in pitchers. But business owners say the blame always seems to come back on the drinking establishments when talk surfaces about the embarrassment unofficial brings to the university and community. I do believe we're probably being used as a scapegoat, Meyer said. While he's eager to help make the event safer and more controlled, Meyer isn't interested in shutting down for a day or the weekend, as some have suggested. Just look at what happened in Southern Illinois, when bars were shut down for a night around the notorious Halloween celebrations that occurred on that campus, he said. The students just decided to move their party to a different night. Does the local action mean maybe opening later in the day? Probably. I can assure you, being a business person in the beverage and alcohol industry, none of us in the industry has an interest in anyone drinking to get injured, to have a fatality, to have a DUI, to have a social issue, sexual assault issue, problems with academics, Meyer said. That's not the business we're in. And finally, on the front page, we have a story about the GOP's health care proposal, a bill for ending Medicaid as we know it. Plan would hurt Illinois, many say. It's very ugly. It would leave many in Illinois without health coverage, and it stands to end Medicaid as America knows it, according to some of the reactions to the House Republican bill to replace Obamacare. Should this bill become law, Illinois Health and Hospital spokesman Danny Chun projected, it could mean a return to the days of uninsured people, delaying needed medical care, and then turning to emergency rooms where care is most expensive. We are extremely concerned on the direction of this legislation, Chun said. It would cut coverage for hundreds of thousands of people in Illinois and impose a federal cap on federal funding for Medicaid in Illinois. The Republican House plan would do away with the penalties imposed on people who don't have health insurance, overhaul the Medicaid system, offer tax credits to help buy insurance, and keep some of the protections under the Affordable Care Act, among them allowing young adults to remain on their parents' insurance until age 26. Champaign County Healthcare Consumers Executive Director Claudia Lenhoff called the bill a bait and switch on the part of Republicans, saying it's not a repeal and replace bill because there's no replacement whatsoever. It's very ugly, she said. The bill substantially reduces the subsidies that help millions of people pay for health coverage, partly by tying assistance to age instead of income, she said. It also changes the insurance pricing scheme, allowing insurers to charge older adults 5 times as much rather than the currently permitted 3 times as much for health coverage as they do younger people, she said. Rather than Affordable Care Act replacement, Lenhoff said, the bill truthfully is a bill for ending Medicaid as we know it, and not just the Medicaid expansion. It would radically restructure it. Under a new per capita cap, the federal government would cap what it pays states for each person covered under Medicaid, forever obligating states, health care providers, and those who can least afford to pay for their care with additional costs, according to Lenhoff. If for no other reason, that is the reason this bill needs to be just buried, she said. Chun said his association is still studying the bill, but some specific concerns are the age-based tax credits that would replace the income-based tax subsidies. The future of Medicaid is also a big concern. 1 out of 4 people in Illinois is covered under Medicaid, he said. The enhanced federal match for Illinois of 95% for new enrollees under Obamacare's Medicaid expansion would come to an end in 2020 and drop back to around 50%, which will be a huge hit to an already ailing state budget, Chun said. On top of that, there would be the new per capita cap, he said. And Illinois is already last among states in the U.S. for federal Medicaid reimbursements. We're a bigger state than Ohio. We have more people on Medicaid than Ohio, but Ohio gets $4.6 million more a year in Medicaid because they have a higher matching rate than we do, he said. More than 40% of the state's hospitals already operate on a negative or very thin margin, Chun said. Cutting Medicaid could mean cutting services for these hospitals. And when you cut services for everyone, not just Medicaid patients, he said. The State Hospital Association is continuing to urge Congress not to repeal the Affordable Care Act without an adequate and simultaneous replacement plan that continues to ensure meaningful and affordable coverage, Chun said. Presence Covenant and United Samaritans Medical Centers and the Carle Health System are still reviewing the GOP plan and its potential impact. It is, however, important to keep in mind that Illinois is already disadvantaged with Medicaid funding, said Dr. Jared Rogers, president and CEO of both local Presence hospitals. As it is currently proposed, the House bill would exacerbate an already unfair situation by capping funds for our state, thereby providing fewer resources to care for those most in need. Dr. James Leonard, Carle president and CEO, said a thorough evaluation is needed. Just as the enactment of the Affordable Care Act required affected parties to thoroughly evaluate their role, so will movement toward its replacement, he said. We will continue to monitor and prepare, knowing that, as a vertically integrated system, Carl and Health Alliance are well positioned to adjust while maintaining our focus on providing the highest quality care and service to our patients and members. We'll move on to local news now, and it's Wednesday, so we have Tom Kasich's column today, Clerk Taking Case to Capitol. There will be no polling place consolidation in the University of Illinois campus area for the April 4th local election. But Champaign County Clerk Gordy Halton said he's hopeful of getting something through the legislature this spring. After much indecision last month, the Champaign County Board voted to establish individual polling places for 9 U of I area precincts in the April 4th local election, rather than to consolidate all campus area voting at the Illini Union. Halton said that the polling place consolidation would be easier on the campus area voters, who have become accustomed to voting at the Union, particularly in low-interest local elections, plus it would save the county thousands of dollars. The state's attorney's office issued an opinion saying that consolidating the polling places would be considered unlawful. Some county board Republicans recommended doing it anyway to get a court decision. But county board Democrats, who are the majority, voted to authorize separate polling places for most campus area precincts. Now, Halton said he'll take the issue to the legislature, along with a host of other election-related issues. I'm working on a vote center concept, and I'm also working on several minor things, including more explicitly allowing for polling place consolidation for low turnout elections, he said last week. He said he has found support for the latter issue among legislators and staff members from both political parties in Springfield. I'm hopeful that if anything can happen in Springfield, either a bunch of things are going to move or nothing's going to move. If things start to move, I'm hoping we can get an elections cleanup bill, said Halton, who once worked as a Senate Republican staffer in Springfield. Nothing will be introduced now, but watch for something to pop out late in the session, he said. The staff traditionally collects suggestions for minor things like that and puts them into one elections bill at the end of May, and we run everything together. That's the way it's been done for several sessions, he said. Halton, who is a legislative chairman for the State County Clerks Association, said his members also want help with budget items as the state assigns more tasks to election authorities without providing money. And they want to make relatively minor changes to vote by mail and early voting procedures. Finally, Halton thinks the turnout in those campus precincts on April 4th might be even lower than the 53 who voted in the 4 Urbana precincts in last week's mayoral election. I think there will be perhaps a lower turnout in April than there was in February, given what's appearing on the ballot, he said. Some Republicans on the county board believe, though, that Democrats will target U of I students to turn out to vote for a property tax increase to benefit the Champaign County Nursing Home, a question on the April 4th ballot. Shimkus for secretary? U.S. Representative John Shimkus, Republican of Collinsville, is among four contenders to be the next Army Secretary, according to Military Times. Shimkus, whose congressional district includes Danville, Rantoul, Tuscola, Charleston, Mattoon, and much of southern Illinois, had no comment on the report, said his spokesman Jordan Haverly. There's really nothing I have to say about it, said Haverly. Shimkus, who has a degree in general engineering from West Point, served over 5 years active duty in the Army, then entered the Army Reserves. He retired in 2008 with the rank of lieutenant colonel. Military Times reported that Shimkus is among four current or former congressmen up for the job, the others being Representative Chris Gibson of New York, retired Republican Congressman Duncan L. Hunter of California, and Arkansas Lieutenant Governor Tim Griffin, who served 2 terms in the House. Griffin said he was interviewed for the job on February 7th. That was 4 days after Vincent Viola, a billionaire businessman, withdrew from consideration, after struggling to disentangle his extensive business holdings. Viola is also a West Point graduate. Muhammad Aquifer. A bill already approaching passage stage in the Illinois Senate would establish a Muhammad Aquifer Protection Task Force that would have to issue a report by July 1, 2018, on ways to protect the underground drinking water source for much of central Illinois. Senate Bill 611, sponsored by Senator Scott Bennett, Democrat of Champaign, would establish a 22-member group charged with identifying potential and current contamination threats to the aquifer and identify actions to ensure its protection. Parkland candidates. Two of the 10 candidates for the Parkland College Board in the April 4th election have filed campaign disclosure forms with the State Board of Elections. Bianca Green of Champaign, who is one of four candidates for a single 2-year term on the board, filed a statement of organization last week. She reported having $3,531 in her campaign fund. And on Monday, she reported a $2,188.55 contribution from Jason and Lynette Dodds of Champaign. Rochelle Harden, also of Champaign, is one of six candidates for one of 3 6-year terms on the board. She filed on Monday and reported having $1 in her campaign treasury. Only candidates who raise or spend, or expect to raise or spend, $5,000 within a 12-month period must file paperwork to create a political committee under the Board of Election rules. And from more news from the University of Illinois, U of I Vice Provost heading to Duke. The Vice Provost who tracks faculty hiring and departures at the University of Illinois is taking a new job at Duke University. Abbas Ben-Manumon, Vice Provost for Faculty Affairs and Academic Policies, will begin his new job in early June as Duke's Vice Provost for Faculty Advancements. Ben-Manumon said Tuesday that he was enticed by the prospect of a job that focused more on faculty development and mentoring, exactly what I like to do. It's also a newly created position at a top university just a few hours from family in the Washington, D.C. area. It's a great opportunity to do something different and build on my expertise here, he said. Ben-Manumon said his decision was not influenced by the budget uncertainties facing the U of I or the state. I wouldn't say that at all, he said. This uncertainty is going to pass. Every university is going through these challenges. This is a world-class university, and with the leadership of Chancellor Jones and his vision and extensive leadership experience, it is poised for more success, and I have no doubt about that. Ben-Manumon turned down two other offers when he came to the U of I as an assistant professor of linguistics in 1997, and he's very grateful for the opportunities it gave me to grow as a scholar and teacher. This university does interdisciplinary better than anywhere else, said Ben-Manumon, whose son is a junior at the U of I. I love the University of Illinois. I'm really conflicted about this. Former interim provost Ed Fazer recently left to take a new job at Oregon State University, but Ben-Manumon said his job was already in the works. This was more of a personal decision. We thought this is probably the time for us to make a change and get closer to the East Coast, and the opportunity at Duke was the right opportunity for me, he said. We have a Teacher of the Week today. Her quote is, "Students feel incredibly comfortable with me." Meet Gina Kraft, a 7th and 8th grade English language arts teacher at Arcola Junior Senior High School. She learned early on through her Golden Apple Teaching Scholarship that building strong relationships with students can go a long way. One way she does that is by letting them choose class nicknames at the beginning of the year. Some of my personal favorites, Jake from State Farm, Hurricane Wasabi, Little Swag, Megatron, and Mona Lisa. My students definitely feel incredibly comfortable with me. I usually know about new junior high relationships before most students. Here's the questions. What's unique about your school? We have a very unique population of Caucasian, Hispanics, and Amish students. Although quite small, we are one-to-one district with iPads for the students, along with MacBooks and Apple TVs for each teacher. What do you enjoy about the age group you teach? I love how weird and awkward they are. They're starting to become young adults, and I have the joy of being a moldable influence in their lives. I get to experience them growing from elementary students into teenagers. I experience all the highs and lows with these students, and that makes my job even more fulfilling. One of my favorite teachers growing up was my high school English teacher, Mrs. Bright. She was the teacher that everyone loved, not because her class was easy, but because she deeply cared about each and every one of us. She challenged me to think differently, tackle complex ideas, and take a stance to speak my mind. She inspired me to be a better teacher even to this day. I use strategies she taught me as a student and modify them to meet the needs of my students. Favorite tactic for getting students to pay attention. I frequently use accents in my class while reading to keep their attention. The students love it. They personally requested a Southern accent while we read a graphic novel about the civil rights movement, since it was more accurate to the time period. Three items I have on my desk: glasses, water, and plan book, which I would lose my marbles without. In our local update, we have news from the Railside Golf Course. Site may soon change hands, reopen. Closed since November, Railside Golf Course is expected to open soon under new ownership. Gibson City resident Guy Piercy said Tuesday that he and a group of other investors are ready to sign a purchase agreement, perhaps as early as this week, with the course's owner Doug Brooker of Sibley, who had contemplated turning the 197-acre course into farmland if no deal could be reached. "I love corn and beans, and we don't have much of a town without the corn and beans that surrounds us," Percy said. "But we think we don't need any more corn right now." Under the proposed deal, Brooker would sell all but 80 acres of the 18-hole course in Gibson City to the investor group, Percy said. What Brooker plans to do with the remaining 80 acres, which comprise the 9 holes farthest away from the clubhouse, was not immediately known. The investor group would also obtain ownership of Railside's 5,000-square-foot clubhouse, which features a pro shop, restaurant, lounge, and banquet facilities. It will be a fully functioning golf course with a restaurant and banquet facilities, Percy said, noting that the only difference is it would have a different number of holes. Percy would not say how many holes the course would feature, but he did disclose that we're going to do something very innovative and trendy and cool as all get out. "We're buying 10 holes and 3 practice greens," Percy said, "so we're going to be creative on the use of the acreage. It's going to be cool. There's a trend out there toward another size of golf course that we are going to engage in." From the Champaign Public Library, GMO's role subject of discussion. Local experts will discuss the role and impact of genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, from 7 to 9 p.m. today at the Champaign Public Library. The event will feature speakers from the U of I College of Agriculture, Consumer and Environmental Sciences, and the U of I Extension Office, and others. The event is co-sponsored by the Midwest Center for Investigative Reporting, CU Citizens Access, and the U of I College of Media. And for a quick look at today in history, on March 8th, in 1917, Count Ferdinand von Zeppelin, 78 years old, the creator of the rigid airships bearing his name, died in Berlin. We're coming to the end of our first half hour. We'll take just a short break now, and then I'll be returning with the second half hour of the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette for today, Wednesday, March 8th, 2017. I invite you to please stay tuned.